You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, sometimes in life, you have enemies, people that wish you harm. Happens for different reasons. People disagree. They get on each other's bad side. But there are people out there who can talk bad about you and wish you harm. That's the theme that's in our readings this morning. In the Old Testament reading from Micah chapter 6, thank you, Lois, Micah reminds God's people of how God has always protected them even when they had enemies. First, there was Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, that family that worked together by God's grace to lead the people out of slavery. And then he mentions Balaam and King Balak. I want to take a little bit of time this morning to remember that story. It is quite a story in the book of Numbers, chapters 22, 23, 24. It's a long story. So if you don't remember, that story happens when the people are wandering in the wilderness. God's people, they had been enslaved in Egypt. Moses led them across the Red Sea. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. God was teaching them how to be God's people, giving them the law. Well, it came to pass that they set up camp near the kingdom of Moab, an ancient city-state. And when King Balak, the king, noticed this, he wasn't happy. He didn't like that they were there, and he wanted to do them harm. So he summoned Balaam. Balaam, as we read in the Bible, was a seer of old, an ancient oracle, who would practice divination and could tune himself into God Almighty. Keep in mind, Balaam wasn't Jewish. There's actually archaeological evidence for Balaam that has been found. So we are very sure that this person existed and was not Jewish and had a reputation that was widely known. King Balak heard about this reputation, and he sends a delegation to go recruit Balaam. He sends honored people, people who serve in his court with money. And they go to Balaam and they say, "King Balak has a job for you. Come into the kingdom, and he wants you to curse this Hebrew people. Balaam says, okay, I'll sleep on it. You can sleep out here in my little hut, and I'll let you know in the morning. So during the night, Balaam, who was very close to God, God spoke to Balaam and said, don't do it. These are my people, my chosen people. Do not set yourself against me. Don't go. Don't curse. Just say no. So in the morning, Balaam wakes up and he tells the delegation, sorry, I can't help you. Sends them packing. They go back to the king, and King Balak is not happy. He's angry, and he sends another delegation, this time bigger, more people, more important people in his kingdom, and with more money. When they arrive to Balaam, Balaam says, the king could offer me all his storehouses of silver and gold, and I would still not go. God has told me not to do this. And then Balaam goes to sleep. And now the second time in his sleep, God says to him, Balaam, go ahead and go. But when you get there, only speak the words that I tell you to speak. So the next day, Balaam sets off on his own. And he rides, as I was talking about with the children, his donkey. And along the way, some interesting things happen. An angel sets himself in the middle of the road to stop Balaam from going, an angel of the Lord. And the problem is Balaam can't see him, but the donkey can. And so as they come up near the angel, we're told that the angel is holding a sword, okay? This is not, again, one of those fluffy pink cherubs. This is one of those angels with the sword. And so the donkey, seeing the angel, walks off the road into a field so that they don't get killed. But Balaam can't see the angel, and he gets angry at the donkey for not following instructions. And what does he do? He hits him. They keep going on the journey, and then the angel appears again. This time, on either side of the road are vineyards with stone walls on either side. So the donkey can't go into the vineyard. All he can do is go to the shoulder of the road. And he moves so far over to avoid the angel and the sword that Balaam's foot gets scraped against the stone wall. And, it hurts. What does he do to the donkey? He hits him. He's doing harm to the donkey. They keep going. And now the path gets even narrower. And it comes maybe between like a slot canyon or something like that. And there's really nowhere to go. And the angel is right there with the sword ready to strike them down. So what does the donkey do? Does anyone remember? You're getting to that. He sits down. Sits down all the way. And Balaam is furious. And for the third time, he does harm to the donkey. He hits the donkey. And then the Bible tells us that the donkey, she speaks to Balaam and says, why are you hitting me? Have I not served you faithfully all these years? Haven't I always gotten you to where you want to go? And Balaam says, yeah, but you swerved off the road, you scraped my foot, and now you're not even walking. And the donkey says, the reason why is because I'm protecting you from this angel. And just then, Balaam's eyes are open, and he sees the angel, and it's terrifying. And the angel says, I'm here because your path is set against God. But then the angel says, just like God did in the second dream, I will let you go, but you must only speak the words that God gives you. So they get back up on the donkey, and they go on their way to King Balak. When they get to the kingdom of Moab, King Balak leads Balaam up a mountain. They build 7 altars, and on each altar, they give burnt offerings to the Lord, not just a pigeon or a dove, big full animals, rams, cattle, I believe. Two on each one, seven altars. This massive offering gets burned, and the smoke goes up as an offering to God. King Balak wants to get on God's good side to do this curse, and he says to Balaam, do your thing. So Balaam goes, and once again God tells him, only say the words that I give you. And so Balaam raises up his hands and blesses the Hebrew people. May you thrive. May your tents be full of joy. May God clear your path. And meanwhile, King Balak is just furious. He's tearing his, what are you doing? We did all these offerings. You're not doing what I tell you to do. He says, come with me. We're going to do this again. And Balaam goes, I am only going to do the words the Lord tells me. So they go to a second mountain, seven altars, seven burnt offerings, all that livestock. He puts his hands up and he blesses the people again. They can see the Hebrews camped down in the valley. And again, Balak is furious. He goes, we're going to try it a third time. And you know how it goes. The third time they go, seven more altars, seven more offerings. And what does Balaam do? He blesses the people. The thing is, God's chosen people cannot be cursed. Balaam says this, as I see him from the top of the rocks and I look at him from the hills, behold a people who dwells apart and will not be reckoned among the nations. They have special favor. They have been chosen. And whoever aims to curse this people, the curse will be turned into a blessing. Those who try to do harm because they don't like, because it gets in their way, it doesn't go to their plans, they're going to have to get over it. And it's interesting that the thing that happens with the donkey on the way is a way of teaching Balaam about this whole dynamic. See, the donkey wasn't listening to him, and he got mad, and he was hitting it, and God basically told him, don't do that. He stopped it, and he turned it into a blessing. And then writ large to the people, he said, you cannot curse them, you can only bless them. And the same promise is true for us. Through our baptism, we become members of God's chosen people. Whatever our background might be, whatever our culture, wherever we were born, whatever language, through the waters of baptism, we become God's chosen people. And if any time a person or a thing or an entity is aimed against us and wishes us evil, God takes that curse and transforms it into a blessing. Even preachers can benefit from this blessing. Like preachers who, you know, sometimes they have good sermons, sometimes they have bad sermons. Did you hear about the time when a preacher was kind of off for a while and they finally had a good sermon? And someone said, wow, pastor, that was a really good sermon. And the pastor said, well, if God could make Balaam's donkey speak, I guess once in a while he can make me speak too. God takes curses and turns them into blessings. That's what the Beatitudes are all about. When you are feeling poor in spirit, God will bless you. When you are mourning, God will bless you. Those who are meek, those who are hungry, those who don't have it fair, those who are merciful and pure, those who work for peace, those who are persecuted, God blesses and blesses and blesses and blesses. God blesses us when we are down low. That is God's grace given for us. I don't know about you, but I have struggled a little bit with the Beatitudes according to Matthew. The first line, blessed are the poor in spirit, for those theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, blessed are those who are poor. It's much more concrete and down to earth, but Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I've always wondered what that was about. And it kind of became clear to me this week. If you didn't know, we lost a member of the church this past week, Jim Wilkie. And Jim was living alone His wife had passed, and we didn't see Jim in church last week, and Jim is here every Sunday. So we went to go see how he was doing, and we found that he had passed. And when we were there with him, waiting for services to come and reaching out to the family, these words of Jesus became crystal clear to me. Even when we're poor in spirit, God blesses us and gives us the kingdom of heaven. Nothing can separate us from God's love. It is promised to us. So the only thing that we have to do, the only thing we can do, remembering our baptism, is to pray for the Holy Spirit. When Balaam was up on the mountain, he prayed for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came on him and gave him the words to bless. And we can do the same thing. We can pray for the Holy Spirit, not just for ourselves, but for our enemies too, that all people may know God's blessing. So let us do that now. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that by baptism, you make us one with you. That by your grace, you choose us and you bless us, even when we feel low. That no curse, no hurt, no pain, nothing directed against us can separate us from your love. So we pray for your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would protect us, and we pray for our enemies too, that they would know your love and grace and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.